Hi, welcome back to my podcast. My name is Enid Katambi. I'm a certified finance and investment analyst and a financial educator. In my previous episode, I hosted Kenyan on Fire, where we discussed her financial journey, especially her experience in cryptocurrencies. In that episode, I mentioned the importance of sharing our experiences with money. Of course, everyone has a unique relationship and experience with money, but we can always learn from each other's stories. So, in this episode, I'll be talking about the top 5 money mistakes I made in my 20s. Hopefully, you can learn something even if you are past your 20s. The first lesson is the advantages of budgeting, setting financial goals, and always having an emergency fund. At the start of my career, I was barely getting by. I had a student's loan, a SACCO loan that I had taken to pay for my final semester's tuition and accommodation, plus black tax. With a starting salary of about $400 before tax and living in the city, sometimes this was barely enough to get by. Still, I feel that I could have done better. I could have made better decisions, like budgeting, have clear financial goals, and always saving for emergencies. I had a savings account in a SACCO, but at the back of my mind, this money was for long term. My plan was to borrow against this money and acquire some assets. I do not remember having savings account for short-term goals, not even an emergency fund, and I just winged it when it came to financial goals. Obviously, you know how that ended. I spent on things that are not budgeted or planned for. I also realized that I spent more than I was earning. There were months I needed more to cover the monthly expenses, so I turned to digital loans. On months when I had balances carrying forward, the money would just sit in my current bank account. It may not have been much, but if I had put that money in a money market fund, it would have earned me a return and prepared me for emergency expenses. So the lesson is, start budgeting as early as you can. This makes it so much easier for you to grow into the habit of saving. By the time you hit your 30s, you will not be struggling to build a budgeting and saving habit. Trust me, it is a lot of work and it takes time. It is also important to have financial goals. For example, what do you want to achieve in the next year, 2 years, 5 years down the line? By the end of the year, you may want to reward yourself by taking a vacation. That's your goal. So start saving and planning for it. If you do this, you will have a more meaningful and less stressful holiday because you planned and prepared for it financially. The other lesson is, you must always have an emergency fund. It needs to be at least 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. However, aim to have at least 6 months of your living expenses saved in a very liquid account where you can always access this money during emergencies. Lesson number 2, the importance of saving and investing a percentage of my salary. As much as I did not have an emergency savings account or a savings account for short-term goals, the one thing I did diligently was to save money. Besides the retirement savings, I made a point of depositing something in my SACCO account every payday. It may not have been much or planned for short-term goals and emergencies, but I knew if things got thick, I could liquidate that account or borrow against that money. And that day came. When it came, I was so glad I had that money to rely on. Of course, I never thought that day would ever come. I always thought that this money will go into my long-term goals. I had no idea what those were, but I knew I need to keep saving. The lesson here is always save a percentage of your salary and do it religiously. The recommended amount is 20%. Every month, make sure you set aside 20% of your paycheck for savings and investments. However, if you have other obligations, like a huge amount of debt at the moment, you can focus on that. But at least save 5 or 10% of your salary. Another lesson is splitting those savings into short and long-term savings and investment accounts. Start with short-term goals, like building an emergency fund if you do not have it. If you have it and it is depleted or you've used part of the money, make a point of building it back as soon as possible. Then have a sinking account for your other dreams, like maybe you have a significant purchase that you want to make, or you want to go on vacation, or you want to take your family for a vacation. save for those things. Finally, have a savings account for investment purposes such as real estate, mutual funds, and a CDS account for shares and bonds. Lesson number 3, managing my emotions around money and black tax. I started getting better with money in my late 20s and early 30s. Actually, scrap that. I have always been good with money. I hustled, helped out, and saved the little that I could while I was still in school. I managed a corporation's treasury activities. This might have been a work thing that I needed help to replicate in my personal finances. I know it happens. However, when I think about it now, there was more to living paycheck to paycheck. First, it was the low salary amount with little increments over the years. When that significant boost in salary hit, I could do more things that I wanted, like saving more and investing. But that boost came a little bit too late. And a little while after that, the pandemic hit us. But I want to concentrate on something else for this lesson. The second issue was my emotions around money and the management of the black tax. I know there was a responsibility here and there. I tried to ensure I boosted my people whenever they needed it. And it's not like they needed my help all the time. But I felt obligated to help so often. When the need to go the extra mile came, I had all sorts of emotions. I felt helpless, I felt sad, I was desperate, and I felt defeated. So most of my financial decisions were driven by these emotions. Unfortunately, I made some bad decisions because of this, like liquidating my SACCO savings and getting into debt. I tried side gigs here and there to supplement my paycheck. I still struggled. The other day, I told someone I could not account for some of the money I made in my 20s. But when I think about specific incidences, I can work back some of the math and see where the money went. The lesson here is it is important to understand what drives you to spend money as you do. What emotions are usually there? You must also know how to manage black tax and expectations from others and yourself. I'm not saying that you should not spend money on things that make you happy, or that you should not support your loved ones. All I'm saying is, first, you need to understand your emotions around money to ensure they do not drive your financial decisions and lead you into debt. Second, you can still help your people without compromising your financial goals. Draw boundaries, set the expectations of the help you offer, and budget for that black tax. Check out my 5th podcast. I talk more about black tax. Lesson number 4. Saving more for retirement. There's this feeling you get when you see deductions on your payslip. The bottom line of your payslip leaves you with some feeling like someone is robbing you, especially when you look at statutory deductions like pay, NSSF, NHIF, and HELB. Then you imagine the type of public services you receive after all these deductions, and you actually feel robbed. But these are statutory deductions, and there's nothing you can do about them. Your employer must deduct this from your salary and remit them to the necessary bodies. My problem, however, was with other deductions, pension contributions to be more specific. Besides the usual deduction, which the employer matched, I was always bewildered when the scheme custodian recommended additional voluntary contributions. Why would I want to see my net income go any lower? That's probably your question when I recommend contributing more towards your retirement, especially at a young age, or why you should have an individual retirement plan in the first place when you can put that money to use right now. Why do I wish I had listened to these advisors and contributed more? Because of the power of compounding interest. And I know that I could have afforded that extra amount, even if it was 1,000 or 2,000 shillings. This interest would have been reinvested and continued to earn more interest, because that is how compounding interest works. When I do a simple simulation, assuming that I was contributing 2,400 Kenya shillings every month, employer matched with that, and I added an extra amount of that. If I had started this habit at 25 when I was employed, that means I would have been investing for 35 years. By the end, my fund size would be about 14.8 million. On the other side, if I did not top up that 2,400 additional contribution, my fund size at 60 years would be 9.9 million. That additional 2,400 a month, which I could have easily made, would have earned me extra interest of almost 3 million. I hope you can see where I'm going with this. My mother went on early retirement at the beginning of the year. When we started planning her retirement 2 years ago, we looked at what she would receive from her employer as her retirement package, the employer's retirement scheme, and her NSSF contributions. The employer's scheme is what caught my attention more. My mother has worked for one employer all her life. That's over 30 years with a single employer. The employer's retirement scheme, which had matched contributions, came along about a decade ago, if I remember correctly. So she missed almost 2 decades of matched retirement contributions. Even if they were not matched, just imagine how much more money she would have had. Lesson: do not let the power of compounding pass you by. Even if you are self-employed, get an individual retirement account. Start early with whatever you can afford. Some plans allow you to contribute as low as 500 Kenya shillings. Of course, the more you contribute, the better, because this money also lowers your current tax liability. Then, when the golden years come knocking, you will have a source of steady cash flows to support your lifestyle. Lesson number 5, investing and diversifying my portfolio more. I was no stranger to the importance of investing, the power of compounding interest, and the diversification of one's investments. The problem is that first I was not earning much until my late 20s to start investing more. In my mid-20s, any extra money went to unexplained expenses. I'm just glad I had a pension scheme and a SACO account, but that was it. The lesson here is, do not be boxed into saving money only. Investing is how you create wealth. Now that I think about it, I would do some things differently if I could go back all over again. For starters, I would use the few coins I would get from my side hustles to invest in stocks and treasury bills before using that money to boost my expenses. With as little as 1,000 shillings every month, you can get some shares from the NSE. That 3,000 shillings I was wasting on wines, I could have split it into more affordable drinks if that was really necessary, and buying shares. We live and learn, right? These are some of the mistakes I made in my 20s, and I'm hoping not to repeat them in my 30s. I'll admit it is a struggle, especially with the budgeting aspect. However, I have found a way to use a budgeting that works for me, paying myself first. So every time I receive my paycheck, I make sure that I have saved for my short-term goals, I have invested, and I've set aside money for my risk management. On investing and diversifying my portfolio, I want to invest more in local and foreign markets and use government bonds to match some of my long-term financial goals. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode as we work towards financial independence. I hope you found it useful and you will join me for the next one. Until then, stay proactive with your finances.